We'll be in Romans chapter 12 this morning as we continue on taking a look at the spiritual gifts that are listed in Romans chapter 12 that God has said, I have given to every one of my children. So we're taking a few weeks to study through these. At the end of that time, as I've mentioned before, and not to bore you with all the repeat, but we're going to make some spiritual gifts inventories available at the end of that time where you can just take it home, answer a few questions, might help you identify a little more how God has equipped you to serve. But this morning, we'll continue on in that, and we'll be in Romans chapter 12, and the section that we read is starts with verse 3 and goes through verse 8. And it says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness." So 2 weeks ago, as we were in this, we looked at the first in that list. This morning, we're going to be looking at the gift of serving. But let's pray as we come to God's Word. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the way that you equipped your body. Thank you for how it functions and is effective when the body is doing its part. So as we continue to look at some of these things, I pray that you would clarify for us our own role, the kinds of things that you want us involved in, and I pray that all of that would be done for your honor and glory. And so I surrender this time to you, and I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. A man by the name of Ken Galbraith was a public figure in the early 1900s up through the mid-1900s, served as an advisor to several of the Democratic presidents. He was a diplomat in the JFK administration, was the ambassador to India, and teacher at Harvard, and just had a lot of things kind of well-known in political circles back in those days. But he tells the story in his autobiography that on one particular occasion, schedule had been hectic. He was pretty worn out and just really wanted some alone time, and wanted to take a nap. And the family had a housekeeper by the name of Emily Wilson. And he asked her, just hold his calls and let him get in some rest. Well, this was during the Lyndon B. Johnson administration. And just after this Galbraith had gone to sleep, the phone rang, and it was the president, and he said, "Get me Ken, I want to talk to him." Well, Emily said, "I'm sorry, Mr. President, but he's sleeping, he's asked not to be disturbed." "Well, I want to talk to him, wake him up." Emily said, "I'm sorry, Mr. President, but I work for him, not for you." Do you have an Emily in your life? Do you have someone that has your back? Someone that's looking out for you? Someone that has your best interests at heart? That heart of a servant always shows up. Lots of different ways, but it always will show up. Well, this morning we look at the gift, the spiritual gift of serving. Now let's be clear, as with all of these things, there's none of these that any of us are exempt from. You know, we are to be well-rounded in our are following Christ, but different ones have a different motivation, a different way that they look at life. And some people are happiest when they're serving. One of my aunts, when I was growing up, was just happiest when she was in the kitchen preparing food for whatever group might be coming in on that particular occasion. She just loved it. She had the gift of serving, and she made herself available. As I look back on that, it was really a dramatic thing. And some are just driven to serve. God has put that in you. And so we want to just kind of flesh this out a little bit this morning as we think through. Now, we talked about the gift of prophecy, first of all, and this is not the telling of the future, but in the New Testament, this is about declaring God's word forcefully, directly, clearly, giving a message that God has declared. That gift, with its tendency towards harshness, needs to be balanced out by other gifts like serving. And we see that the servant is one that just refreshes people. Now, as we think about this, and I mentioned before, we're going to use the same basic outline for each of these seven gifts that are described. And we start by defining it. As we look in the New Testament, we see this word showing up. It's translated into English several different ways. But this gift of serving, as it came into usage, had a very literal meaning, and it simply meant to wait on tables. That was the way this word first began to be expressed. It meant to wait on tables. Unless that sounds a little minor, a little demeaning, I want you to think back. As the early church was formed and developing, there arose a situation in the church. The apostles were approached with this situation that there was a group of women, widows actually, who were being neglected. Their needs were not being met. And the apostles said, that's a bad deal. And now we've got this thing where we need to preach and teach and pray, and we can't stop that just to wait on tables. But this is important. So what we're going to do is you pick out seven guys who are gifted in this way to oversee those acts of service. And so they did. And we oftentimes think of those as the first deacons. Later, that word came into usage, deacons and deaconesses. And at its root, it means people who serve. That's what it's about. So never think of this as something menial or light or insignificant. Who has not been to an eating establishment where you wonder why you came in? You know, the people there looked at you as if you were an inconvenience. Everybody's experienced that, right? And then on the other hand, you've gone places where your hostess, your server came, and they were bubbly and full of life and enthused and genuinely made you feel like you were welcome, like you were glad. This is important. There is nothing menial about this. But that's what it came to mean as it came into usage, to wait on tables. Now, over time, then, it became defined as an act of service that was motivated by love. That's what a server was going to be doing. They cared for people. They loved people genuinely and just had to serve. Had to meet needs, make sure that they were met. And so as we're thinking about this, to describe it in a sentence, it is someone who has a drive to see needs met. It's not It's not a casual thing. It's not a leaning, a tendency. It's not an urge. It is a drive to see things met, needs met. And it can have its downfalls too. And we'll see some of those as we go out. But there's just this, it cannot leave things undone. Just simply cannot leave things undone. As Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he described this kind of gift in 1 Corinthians 16. He said, I urge you, brothers, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Be subject to such as these, and to every fellow worker and laborer. You see this man, Stephanas, and his household, he had spread this, devoted to the service of the saints. Now, this is never fleshed out for us. We don't know exactly what that meant, but you can assume it was just, they were always conscious, always going to make sure that needs were being met, whether it was people had stuff to eat, or traveling people had a place to sleep. Just the basic necessities of life, they were going to make sure that things were ready, things were prepared, that needs were being met. They were devoted to that, committed to it. That was just the drive of their lives. That was their purpose being lived out. Now it goes on. I rejoice at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, because they have made up for your absence, for they refreshed my spirit as well as yours. Give recognition to such people. Now, a servant typically would like to be behind the scenes. But Paul says, you need to acknowledge this. This is such a commitment. This is such a service to the body of Christ. You need to acknowledge these things. But he says there, they refreshed my spirit. Refreshed. They were that breath of fresh air in a stuffy room. They were that drink of cold water on a hot day. Add your own, you know, cliches, however that may. You get the idea. They refreshed me. Now, we've all experienced, you're around some people that you come away feeling drained, exhausted, right? And then there's others that you come away with a lift in your step and air in your lungs. You feel encouraged and helped from the time that you spent visiting with them. They refreshed you. And that's this servant at work. They live to refresh people. They live to make life better, simpler, easier. It's just what drives them, what motivates them as they go through life and interact with people. So there are characteristics that you can see from servants as you read through the scriptures and see people who have this gift. And as you watch people, you begin to think of people like this, even as we talk here this morning. But there are certain characteristics that we can observe. I would start with this awareness. They live with their eyes open, the servant does. They see needs that other people just don't seem to see. They're conscious, they're alert, they're watching for different needs that people see. They identify them, and then, of course, they work at meeting those needs. But there's this awareness. There might be trash out on the lawn, and a lot of people walk by and never see it. The servant will always see it and will go over and pick it up. They're just that way. You're at a potluck or something like that, and as things are winding down, some people begin to pick up and clean up. And others will sit there until you take the chair out from underneath them. Yeah, just kind of oblivious to what's going on around them. The servant always sees. They live with this awareness. They just see needs and are wanting to make sure that they are met. And that's the follow-up to this is a motivation. They simply cannot leave things undone. The servant will lose sleep at night, will have a hard time going to bed knowing that things are undone. It just bugs them to no end. And so there's this motivation to do, not just observe, but actually to do. Now, there's some things that this leads to that are not always positive. And one is the inability to say no. And servants need to learn how to say no a little bit. But they cannot say no to things. And so oftentimes they're overworked and overextended. A good friend that I've heard say many times, if you want something done, ask the busiest person that you know, and they'll find a way to get it done. That's the heart of a servant. They just have the inability to say no. And some of you are identifying with this, and you need to learn not everything is yours to do. You've got to learn to say no at times, because this can lead to a resentment or a frustration at times. Overworked and beginning to look at those people that don't seem, they wouldn't see the thing if it hit them square in the forehead, and you say, what's wrong with all these people? Why isn't anybody else helping? Why is it always me? And it can get to that point if we're not careful. And so those are a few of the characteristics that we can see regarding this particular gift. Now, Paul, in this section of Romans 12, gave a word of instruction to with each of these gifts. Some of them don't seem like they're actually instruction, but they are. So the instruction that went with this gift, again, he said in verse 6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving. If you're gifted to serve, then just do it. Just serve. And I think what he's saying is stay focused. Stay focused on your task. The problem comes when you start looking out of the corners of your eyes, looking at around you. Just look at what God has given you to do. Focus on what God has given you to do. The other people are not your concern. You're not their caretaker. You're not God. Just focus on your calling. And this second part of it, don't look at what others are or aren't doing. You can't change it anyway. It's just going to frustrate you more. So if God has given you a particular task, a particular avenue to use your gift, then just do it. Forget about everybody else and what they are or aren't doing. Just serve. If you've been given the gift of service, Paul is saying, just focus on your serving. That's all that you're going to be held accountable for. So just stay focused. Just stay focused. Some examples of the gift. As we look through Scripture, we'll see this pop up on a number of different occasions. We talked about Stephanas already, one who obviously had the gift of service. He worked. He was devoted to the service of the saints. He was refreshing to the people that he came in contact with. There are others. In Acts chapter 9, we're introduced to a woman named Tabitha. And we don't know anything else about her, but she'd passed away. And the people called the apostle Peter to see if he could do anything about that situation. It turns out he could, by God's help and grace. But as the people were approaching him, it says they were showing him garments that she had made for them. She was serving people by sewing for them. And so, again, that wouldn't be one of those things that, you know, that's not going to reach Fortune 500 list. But this was an act of service that she was doing for people around her. She was committed to using her gift to serve people through her sewing. And then we have one that you might know about. Jesus had some friends while he was on earth, siblings, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. And they're referred to several times. He spent time in their homes. And Martha seemed to have the gift of serving. Every time you see her, that's what she's doing. She's waiting on people. She's in the kitchen fixing things. That's what we see that she's doing as we see her name come up in Scripture. But she's also this example of what it's saying. If we don't stay focused on what we're supposed to be doing, if we're starting to look out of the corners of our eyes, it can lead to frustration. We have that incident where Jesus and his troop had come to the home of Lazarus and Mary and Martha. And while he was there, he was teaching, and people were sitting there listening, including Martha's sister Mary. And if you're familiar with it, you know what happened after a while. The temperature began to rise. And after a bit, Martha comes boiling out of the kitchen and comes to Jesus. "Would you tell my no good lazy sister to get off her hiney and get out here and help me?" I paraphrased that just a little bit, but you get the idea. See, she had stopped looking at what her calling was and started looking at the other people. And Jesus was gentle but firm with her. He said, "Martha, you've gotten distracted. Now, what you're doing is good, but you've gotten distracted. You're not looking at your calling anymore." And so she serves both an example of a servant, but how this happens when you can't say no. Now, I had mentioned as well, I would return to a particular illustration that is helpful in helping us define our gift. And it's in a moment of kind of a crisis. Let's say you're in a gathering where food is being served. If somebody drops something on the floor, what is your first reaction? And that kind of is a hint to what your gift might be. So somebody's carrying their dessert and they drop it on the floor. The prophet we talked about will say, and hopefully you learn not to say it out loud, but your first instinct is, "You got to be more careful." The servant will say, "Oh, let me help you." They'll run over as quick as they can. "Let me help you. Let me help you clean this up. Here, you go sit down. I'll get you another one. Would you like more? Oh, you got something on your pants. Here, let me help you with that." That's what a servant, their first instinct is just to help, to serve. And so you might see yourself in that. Now, how would this gift be used? It could be used gobs of different ways, and we see it used. I mentioned, you know, in the food industry, you know people who have the gift of serving and those that don't. And that's true in many professions. Some people, it's a job. Other people genuinely are there to care about you and to help you. Now, we might see someone with the gift of servant in their observation. You know, some people like to go out along the highway and pick up trash. And they like to do it. It's not just because their group was assigned it, but they take joy in that. You might be one of those that would like to help with the building grounds around here because you see things and you're not content to walk by them and leave them laying on the ground. You might be good at that. You might be one of those that could help with routine maintenance. You know, in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about the gift of helps. It would be someone who just has a knack for a lot of different kinds of things, and you might be one of those, and just enjoy helping people do different things. I had a pastor once, it seemed like there wasn't anything he couldn't do. He could do mechanics, he could do woodworking, he could sew, he could cook, you know, just might be something with routine maintenance. You might be good helping set up here, coffee and snacks. Everybody likes the coffee and snacks. Somebody's got to set it up, right? So you might be good at that. You might be good at greeting, just helping people feel at home. Just so many different ways that this particular gift could be used. You might like baking bread. You might like baking cookies. You might like making meals and dropping them off at people's houses. So many ways that the servant is going to show up. Just God's word is, if this is what I have called you to, then just do it. Don't look at anybody else. Just use your gift. It's so necessary, and it's going to be so effective in helping build the body. The servant always shows up. Back in 2009, a plane took off from LaGuardia Airport in New York, and minutes after takeoff hit a flock of geese, took out both engines. The pilot had no choice but to attempt a landing on the Hudson River. And Captain Sully, as we came to know him as, it became a national hero. He successfully landed the plane. Not a single person was lost miraculously in that. What people don't know is that it is documented that before he got off the plane, he made two passes through the whole plane to make sure that everybody was out. That's one kind of heart. 3 years later, almost to the day, there was an Italian cruise ship who the pilot had gotten too close to the rocks, had crashed it, and it began to sink with 4,000 people on board. He found out later he was busy flirting with a young girl dancers on the cruise. Got too close to the rocks, crashed it. They observed him getting off the boat into a lifeboat early, very early. 32 people died in that, and he was later tried for manslaughter and sentenced to prison. Two different kinds of hearts. One that wants to serve, one that wants to think of self. Now, the servant a lot of times likes the behind-the-scenes kind of a thing, but know this, if you don't do your job, it's really going to be obvious. God will always see, and God will always reward, even if there's no accolades here. So use your gift. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for the way that you've gifted the body. And there are people here who have seen themselves this morning. And I pray that you would then encourage them to do what you have gifted them to do. It's not about applause. It's not about accolades. It's not about rewards here. It's about doing what we've been called to do, to hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. And so this, with all the other gifts that you have given to the body, is so, so important. Let's just help us to serve. I thank you. I praise you for your goodness and grace and how you use us. What many people would say is insignificant in ways that will last for eternity. And I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.